Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. You guys, this is the arena where people don't stay stuck. They figure their shit out and they move anyway because we were not created to live on autopilot. God's DNA is in you. You are built to think, to choose, and to become. And everything you've been through, that is not random. It is your message. So today's guest is Dr. Heidi Heron. Okay. She spent decades studying how the mind actually works and why people stay stuck even when they want more. And that's all I'm going to give you of her because we're going to let her tell her own story. I know you guys are tired of my shit. Okay. I know you're tired of listening here. Heidi, I want to say welcome to the hot seat today. And I always start everybody out with the same question. Give us your elevator pitch. Tell us what you do.
You bet, you bet. I work with people to help them get stuck, unstuck. So get out of their own shit, get out of their own way, and live the life that they want to live. Now, I've been working in this field of human development psychology since the late 1990s, so just a couple years now. And I got into it because I did my undergrad degree in psychology, but didn't actually learn how to help people. And I picked up a book one day about something called NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, and it started to unpack how our mind works. And I'm like, I need to know more of this. My own life, I was always shy. You know that question, like if you could meet your younger self, what would you tell her?
Yeah.
I would tell her, get out of your own way, go meet people, go have fun. Nobody's watching you. Nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Go live life.
I feel like I'd say the same
And
thing.
could you? Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so many of us could. And I started to do exactly that, get out of my own way and figure out my own patterns that were holding me back. And then I went, you know what? I need to help other people do this. So I'm a doctor of psychology, but I don't use the clinical stuff that much. I use the other skills that really help people get unstuck and move forward in their life and embrace themselves and embrace life. And I love it. I love it. And I love helping people help themselves.
I mean, I got obsessed with the brain a couple years back. So just knowing like neuroplasticity and knowing, even just the science behind the fact that we don't have to stay on the hamster wheel, like we can change that. It's incredible. But like you've been studying this for a couple years.
Almost 30
So,
years.
and I'm like, she's
Yeah.
not even old enough. She's not old enough to
Thank
have been
you.
saying
Love
that,
you.
but why do people like this is my question is because I watch this happen, right? Especially sitting in this seat. Why do people stay stuck even when they genuinely want to change? What have you noticed there?
Oh man, it's a really simple question or answer and a hard one at the same time. Because people stay stuck. They want to change, but two reasons. One, they don't want to do the work, and they don't want to go through the uncomfort of change. Because change presupposes we don't know what's on the horizon, where I might be stuck, but I have certainty that this stuckness is crap.
And isn't
And
it
I have
crazy?
certainty of that.
That stuckness usually makes you feel like shit. You are
Yes.
miserable. You're
Yes.
miserable and you're trapped and you're frustrated. You're agitated. Your whole body's not in alignment. So like you're just and that's
Yeah.
uncomfortable. But you're telling me like to make that decision, which is just a decision, you'd rather stay
Yeah.
stuck because it's the devil, and it's heartbreaking. It's
It's
heartbreaking.
heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I see it, you see it from the outside. And I might be sitting with a client because I work with people one-on-one from a therapeutic and coaching perspective. And I see that they are miserable, but that misery is, like you
All they
said, the better the
know.
devil we know. But I think that there's an element in there. We just have to make a choice to go, you know what? I hope. And if our hope can be stronger than the certainty of misery, then we can step forward and go, I hope that what I'm stepping into will be better in the long run than where I'm at now. And it might not be great at the beginning because we don't know, but the uncertainty, people don't like uncertainty. The unknown, the uncomfortable. We're com we can it, but it's stupid, isn't it? We can be comfortable being uncomfortable.
And that's the thing, like perspectives have to change, right? And I think once you just start thinking like, I want every day to be a surprise. Like, I never know what's going to happen today. What
Love
conversation am
it.
I going to
Yeah.
have? Who am I going to meet? Like, it is that you wake up every day like, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen because you just don't know. And
Yeah.
knowing is so boring. Like, why we wouldn't
Knowing
have
is
come here.
boring.
We would not have come here for the human experience had we known how everything goes. Like, if I
Indeed.
knew all that was going to happen, what's the point? What is we want to
Agreed.
come there. We
Agreed.
want to feel it. We want to have the experience. What is the biggest lie that you think people believe about themselves that really keeps them there? What's that story they're stuck on?
I think a lot of times the story is this is how my life is. And to your point earlier, when we know we can get off the hamster wheel, but do you know so many people, I don't think realize that they can get off of it. They just go, well, this is my hamster wheel. These are the cards that I've been dealt. This is what God wants for me. I don't know. Maybe God wants us to make a choice. Maybe God wants us to get out of status quo, because I think we have the opportunity to make a shift and change. But I think that's the biggest lie is this is the hand that I've been dealt. Every
Exactly.
poker game I know of, you can get new cards. You can hand all of them back and get all new cards.
And anybody who would bring God into the equation here, I would just encourage you to read the Bible because nowhere have I ever read where he's like, Brandon, I did all this so you could stay exactly the same. You know,
Right.
like we're
Right.
called to create, and that means our reality, our present, our future, all the choices you're making today are for you tomorrow, and like you're
You
in
bet.
control of that. That's the part of like free will and free choice. If we were robots,
Agreed.
we'd be robots, you silly gooses. You talk about
Nothing's predestined.
right.
Nothing's predestined.
You talk about patterns. I would say, like, how early can those actually get formed? And at one point, does a pattern stop being something that happened to you and become something that you're choosing?
Ooh-ah. Patterns get developed according to different aspects of psychology, somewhere between birth and seven. So between birth and seven, this is known as what is called the imprint period. And the imprint period, we have very few filters, and everything that we're learning, hearing, seeing, watching is coming in and going, okay, that's important. I'll store that. Especially those things that are said and done by our parents, our family, our older brothers and sisters, our priests and mentors. And the stuff that comes in starts to get solidified. So by about the age of seven or eight, we have the majority of our unconscious beliefs and patterns. Of course, we get more as we grow up, as we mature in age. But a lot of those set ones just get set. It's like set and forget. I remember working with a gentleman who was having a really hard time in business. And he noticed this pattern in life that either his relationship was good or his business was good. But it was like this, never-ending battle
Couldn't
of
have
which is
both.
going to be good. Absolutely. And I utilized one of my NLP tools and went back along his timeline. Everybody has one. We use it every day, thinking about the past, thinking about the future. But our unconscious mind stores everything. And he went back to this little movie in his mind where he saw two gentlemen having a conversation. And he saw a little boy, like 2, 3 years old, but watching these gentlemen have a conversation. One of them said to the other, it's impossible to have a good business and a good relationship at the same time. Boom. So his little unconscious mind went, ah, okay. It's an either-or thing. I can't have both. So I think we get these patterns very, very, very young, and we don't choose them. But when we start to live in effect of them, that's when we start to choose them. That's when we start going, well, I'm this way because I'm this way because my parents didn't have much money when I grow up. I'm this way because nobody in our family, blah, blah, blah. I'm this way because, and then we're consciously choosing it and we're letting somebody else drive our bus. We're no longer in the driver's seat. But the moment we go, yes, that happened, and I can learn from it, I can choose different, I can be more, I can be bigger than it. That is magical.
That is
Because I have
magical.
a sticker on my computer that says I am bigger than what has happened.
Yeah, I love that. If If you guys are going to take notes, write that one down. I am
I
bigger than
am
what
bigger
has
than what has
happened.
happened.
Yeah. I know I figured this out the hard way. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people have had to before I found someone like you in the space. But why do people sabotage themselves right when things are starting to work?
Ooh, you ever heard of fear of success?
I mean, I'm the definition. My picture is there.
Yeah,
It's been there for a
you
very
bet.
long time.
Yeah, fear of success. There's this aspect that comes in like I'm almost there, regardless
Yeah.
of what the goal is. Monetary goals, relationship goals, personal
Yeah.
goals, health goals, weight goals, whatever it is, I'm almost there. And then something kicks in and goes, can I maintain this?
Yeah.
Who would I be if I do this?
Yeah.
Can I
Danger,
actually succeed
danger.
here?
Yeah.
Especially, if there's a family, a thing in the family. I met a girl that almost finished college, almost finished college, but she was told by every person in her family, we don't go to college.
Right.
You will be the first one to ever graduate and have a college degree. Who do you think you are? Where's that going to take you? Do you think you're better than us? So it comes back to this fear of success. Interestingly, fear of success and fear of failure fit in the same bucket. It's just a different side of it. Can I maintain it? Am I worth it? Am I worthy of it? Do I deserve it? And if there's any doubt, we sabotage.
So you have to find the story. Like, who told me that success was scary? And how did I find the proof and truth in that as I was growing up?
Yes and no, because sometimes knowing the story gives it ammunition depending on what you want to do with the story. So it can either give it ammunition or you can rewrite it. And if you rewrite it, like I do a lot of journaling, and I find that that conversation that happened in the past, and then I retell it to my younger self and say, okay, here's maybe what you heard,
But
but here's
this is
maybe
what
what
the
they meant.
truth.
Like the guy that overheard two people saying that. They weren't talking to him. And they don't know what he might know in the future. It's not a solid rule.
I love
But we
that.
can rewrite it. You're right. The brain, that whole brain plasticity and shifting, and one size doesn't fit all. But again, whatever is happening for me, I don't have to do it that way. I can change it. I can give all my cards back and get a whole new hand.
When you're teaching NLP, what is one practical way someone can interrupt a pattern today? Someone that's listening, what can they do right now to just cut it off?
Excellent. So let me introduce you to the three A's. So the three A's, first awareness. So I need to be aware that that is going on in the first place. And then I need to accept, yep, that's going on. And then I can take action. One of the easiest ways, especially when it's this like, well, I can't do that. Can I update that? Can I fulfill this? Can I be good enough? Is just go stop. And then control, delete, or cancel, erase, and then replace. Control, delete. Of course I can. Of course I can. And I think a second thing that you can do in there, and I love this, is still the awareness, acceptance, and action. So one action is control, delete, think something else, what you want. But the second one is, what question do I have? What is the question that I have? So if my internal dialogue is going, well, you're not good enough for that, turn it around and go, what question do I have? Am I good enough? What will it mean when I'm good enough? According to who am I good enough? And turn it into a question that you can actually do something with. And then that internal dialogue learns that it's helping you versus stopping you. Because its intention isn't to hurt you, it's to help keep you
You
safe.
safe.
And I think that's where we go astray, is we go, ooh, that internal dialogue is bad. No, it's actually there to keep you safe. It's just looking for things that are not unsafe.
How much of our identity do you think is actually rehearsed?
Wow, rehearsed. By rehearsed, do you mean autopilot?
Like we've just become, like I think people really struggle stepping into their own and they've just kind of become little minis of everything in their space. Parents, adults,
A lot, a
family.
lot. A lot. I would say 80 to 90% of why we do what we do and who we are is because of the beliefs and values that we hold. And I think that's probably what we're talking about here when we're saying is our identity rehearsed? It's do we have these behavior, these beliefs of who we are that might not actually be true? And I would easily say 80 to 90% of why we do what we do is based on those beliefs, and good and bad, good and bad. And the great thing is if I have a wonderful belief about myself, I can actually replicate that into different aspects of life. If I'm like, you know what, I'm very confident and self-assured at work, I can bring that same patterning into home.
Nice.
And then I can start to go, okay, what doesn't work for me at home? Who do I need to show up as? What do I need to believe?
If someone's listening right now and they're just like, yeah, this is all cool, Heidi, whatever, but I've been this way my whole life. Like, how do they even begin to believe that change is possible if that is their shield?
Recognize that that shield has purpose. That shield, for however long it's been around, is there to protect you. And it has that purpose to protect you. But at that moment, at this moment, for some reason, you're probably on hypervigilance and you're looking around going, okay, who's going to hurt me? What's going to hurt me? How's this going to go wrong? And most of our worries is just this hallucination of what might possibly go wrong in the future. But thank that voice, thank that feeling, thank the protection. And then my invitation is to not try and change it right away. My invitation is to figure out what do you want? Because if we don't actually know what we want, we can't actually change. And I would say more people, especially more people who are a little bit stuck and doubting self, think more in terms of what they don't want. So the brain might be thinking, and the mind might be thinking, man, I don't want to be so frustrated and lonely and tired. But that's not dialing up what we want. That's not putting out there to the universe, to ourselves, to the world, what we want. So we need to figure out what do we want. Now, an easy flip for that is if you can't think of what you want, you can just think of, I want, well, I don't want to be frustrated. Well, what does that mean? Less frustration, still frustration. Flip it. If I weren't frustrated, what would I be? Calmer. If I weren't lonely, what would I be? With people. If I weren't angry, what would I be? Peaceful. And let that list of those flipped words start to be the guide. And every day, a little bit, step in and imagine you're those things just to get your system ready for them. Now, there's a cool little saying that says, if you can spot it, you've got it. So if I can recognize that I want peace, that presupposes somewhere in my life, in my history, in my memory, I have a remembrance of peace. If I know that I want love, then I've got love somewhere. And recognizing it helps to bring them to the surface. So there's no lost cause, there's only lost hope. So find the hope.
I love that. With language being something that shapes reality, what is something that probably my listeners, people are saying daily that is just quietly wrecking their progress?
You know, a really interesting thing, and it goes with what I was just saying of the I don't want and less and not and anymore. A really interesting thing about the mind is unable to process negatives directly. And it's probably one of the simplest, profound things that started to shift my language and then my awareness. So if I said right now, don't think of cake. Brandon, what kind of cake did you not think of?
Cheesecake always.
Always. And don't think of a dog. What color dog?
No, black, of course.
Of course, because as soon as we say, I don't want or less of,
It's
and
right in
whatever it
front of
is,
us.
whatever the word is, our brain has to process it. So if we can take out the nots and don'ts and lesses, this is great. Even in things like, how are you? Not bad. That's still a little bit bad. So even change the answer to, I'm good, I'm great, I'm even better than yesterday. So just that one little thing, instead of thinking what I don't want, flip it to what do you want? You know, can you stop yelling? What do you want me to do? Talk in an inside voice. So that one little thing of just give your mind, it would be like us getting, you know, hailing a taxi and getting into the taxi and saying to the taxi driver, don't take me to the airport. Don't take me home. Don't take me to the shopping center. They need to know a destination. Same thing with our unconscious mind. So give it a destination. Simplest little linguistic tool that can change your life.
And I this is my thing, 'cause that it seems so easy, right? And like you can tell people this, like if I tell you not to think of, blue cars, you're going to be thinking and seeing blue cars everywhere. We see that. So why do you think it is so hard just on a normal, we're just walking around common sense level to realize that no matter what, the harder we try not to think of something, the same thing of like you tell yourself you can't have sugar anymore. Like, what are you going to want
Everything you see,
every
sugar.
single day? You're going to want the sugar every, I can't have sugar. Oh, I'm going to be eating sugar. So like we see this as proof and truth in our lives. Why do you think it is so, what is it about us that keeps us just in that specific loop when we know it's right in front of us? Like we're so
Again, it's that
close.
uncertainty thing. It's the uncertainty thing. And we get caught in these patterns and these loops that this is why they're programs and patterns, because they keep going. It's easier to put on the same song every single day than change the station. But that's where that awareness, acceptance, and action comes in. So to all the listeners, I encourage you to really become aware of that language. And when you do hear and pick up, and you the more you do it, the more you will pick up the nots, the less, the shouldn'ts, the don'ts. And they go, oh, yep, there it is. Do something instead. Say it again a different way. You know, man, I don't want to be so tired. Ooh, I want to be more awake. And the more you pick it up, you're teaching your unconscious mind to do this, and then you have to do it less. Then you do it less
It becomes your
because your
default mode
unconscious mind
network.
automatically flips it.
I love that. I want to talk a little bit about confidence because when people are doing the scary shit, like they're making that decision, and kind of going through it, everybody just wants the confidence. What would you speak on when it comes to what creates that confidence?
I love that question because I think a lot of people get confidence and competence confused. And they think that confidence comes from being good at something. It doesn't. Confidence comes from inside. It's that ultimate belief in yourself that I'm okay and I'll be okay no matter what. If I fall down, if I fail, if I mess up, if I succeed, if I excel, if I'm successful, I'm okay. And I think as long as when we know that and when we believe that, then confidence can be there. Now, I think that some people also see confidence as an ego boost. And depending on beliefs about ego, then they'll be like, oh, I don't want to be like that, because they see some people who have this egotistical confidence, which, from my professional opinion, when I see that, that's not confidence. That is an overinflated ego that's trying to hide something. Insecurities, you bet.
Insecurities,
But when we have that true belief in ourselves and we know we're okay and somebody's got our back and I've got my own back, that's where confidence can soar. And it can be simple and it can be light and it can be whatever that word is, that doesn't have to be big and boisterous.
I
You know,
love
my
that.
confidence isn't big and boisterous. It never has and it never will be.
Yeah.
But I have belief in myself, and that is strong.
Yeah. That loud, confident voice. Okay. I want to talk about that for a minute because, well, you guys know I'm a little outspoken and abrasive sometimes. But I will say, I've had my own show. My main show is like almost, it's like 570 episodes or something deep. Okay. So it's not my first rodeo, right? Like podcasting is my jam. Everyone kept telling me you need to have a show where you have guests. I couldn't do it. Like for the long, I'm like, nope. People are like, you need to start coaching podcasters. Nope, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. And forever I've fought that. And when I finally unpacked it, the show's only like 2 months old, you guys, right? Like everybody knows this is my
Wow.
new show because I just worked through a new level of imposter syndrome. So I
Yeah.
want to talk about that a little. Like, why do capable people still feel like frauds? And I say that fresh, you guys, I'm not saying it from a pedestal, fresh out the gate with this, with overcoming this imposter syndrome in my era, in this era.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
why do we do that?
Well, first of all, congratulations on overcoming it to
Thank
whatever
you.
degree you have. I think
Yeah.
to some sense we all have it.
Yeah.
But where that imposter syndrome gets in our way is when it stops us from doing things. And there's generally this external validation. What are they going to think? Am I good enough?
Yeah.
Can I do it like this person? And that external stuff, man, that's a killer of confidence when we start doing that external validation.
Comparison
And
and
there's this fear of being seen, like
yeah.
authentically being seen, because I would imagine if you're anything like most podcasters, don't get everything right.
Yeah, no,
And there's
never.
this element in the beginning that goes, but it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Now, perfect isn't realistic. And anybody that has that perfectionist gene, their level of perfectionism on a level of, good on a level of, scale of 1 to 10 is like a
Yeah.
15. And when I work with people who have this imposter syndrome and this perfectionism, usually we bring their perfection down to like a 9, 9.5,
Yeah.
which is still pretty darn good. But there's that aspect in the imposter syndrome that you're not gonna like me
Yeah.
if I show up as me. You know what? I won't like you if you show up as anybody else because I don't
Exactly.
know you then.
Yeah.
I don't know you. But when
Yeah.
you can just show up and just be and give yourself permission to fall down and get it wrong and stumble and have to think for a question or whatever it is, then you're more like me, fallible, human,
Yeah.
honest, authentic. Then I will like you.
Yeah.
Then I will like you. Then I have the opportunity to know you.
Right.
And I think to another point is we think people are watching us and caring and judging.
They don't.
They don't.
Nobody cares about you.
No.
It's like the meanest thing and the sweetest thing to hear at the same time, right? Like,
Yeah, nobody cares.
yeah.
Like your friends care. The people that do judge don't know you anyway.
Yeah. And they're
You
gonna
know, I
judge you
love
anyway.
that book, What
Like,
People Think of You Is None of Your Business.
yes.
I love that.
I've never read it, but I've heard about it. And I mean,
Yeah.
the statement rings true 100%.
Yeah.
We're almost up at our time right here. So I want to ask a final question that I want you to tell everybody where
Perfect.
they can find you. Okay. If someone stripped away all of the stories that you tell yourself about who you are right now in this moment, who would you be?
I would be just me. I would be a child of God. I would be light, and I would be a shining beacon to help other people shine their light.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Where can people find you? How can they work with you?
Yes, people can find me. My website is heidiheron.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, all of the social medias. You can also work with me one-on-one coaching. You can come and learn NLP. You can also grab my new book, Wizard of Cause, which is all about living from cause and remembering our own wholeness and coming back to ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, everything's in the show notes for you guys, so make sure you get resourced. And Heidi, I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand the mind, is that you've taken something most people obviously overcomplicate and you've made it usable. And you've shown people that they're not stuck because they're broken. They're stuck because of patterns that they haven't brought into their awareness yet. And once you see that, you realize you have way more control than you thought. So I love that you came from the space of not only stewarding this for yourself, which a lot of people are not doing. You did this, and not only did you do it, like you're out there helping other people to be able to do the same. And I think that's a beautiful gift. And I think that you are doing exactly what you're meant to be doing and stewarding your potential. I very much love that. God bless your journey with this. And to everyone listening, you're not stuck, right? You're patterned. Patterns can be broken. God did not wire you to stay small, or he's not the God of confusion. He doesn't want you spinning in the same cycle on the same hamster wheel forever. You're built to choose differently, to grow, to lead, to become, to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. And remember, your mess is your message. And the things that you've been through, the patterns that you've had to break, that's the very thing that can help someone else when you walk through the gauntlet. And I'm going to say this, you guys, okay? Podcasting is one of the most powerful tools right now. Nobody's using it the right way. So if you have something to say, something that could shift someone, you should be using your voice. That's why I created a podcast support group, okay? I help you simplify it. It is a free group, help you start it. We're in there to network and connect, help you guest on it to be able to share your story, share your potential, share your books, share your specialty, whatever it is, okay? I just want a real community of us helping each other use our voices and steward our potential. So if you've been sitting on your story, please join the group and get in the arena. Start using your voice. If this episode hit, please subscribe, share it, and send it to someone who needs it. Okay. The world needs more Heidis. And until she can help you figure your shit out, you can't help anybody else. So I want you to get resourced, get her link, get in her containers, get her book, get resourced. And then when you're ready to sit in the hot seat, you guys come tell me why you are special. Heidi, again, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.